Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And we've got a lot of news items this week, so let's jump right into it.
Yeah. So first thing, Live Mesh, our friend Jeremy Mesner.
Yes. So updates to Live Mesh. So
yes.
It's now available in all it's available worldwide.
All English-speaking countries.
Well, my understanding is that it's available worldwide, but you have to have your system set to an English-speaking locale.
Right.
So even if you're in a non-English-speaking country, you can still set to English and then use the bits.
And that's a Windows Live ID setting, correct?
Check out Jeremy's blog.
Okay.
But yeah. So now everyone can get access to Live Mesh now.
Mm-hmm.
Then they also removed the UAC requirement, so you did have to use enable UAC.
Yeah, some people were complaining about this in the coffeehouse. They were like, "Dude, why are you removing this? This is everyone should be running UAC."
Yeah.
So at the same time, there were a bunch of people saying like, "I hate UAC. Why are you forcing me to use that? I'm not going to try Live Mesh because you forced me to use UAC."
It's a pretty religious debate, but they removed the requirement. Now the users can decide. And the desktop search also works. Yeah. Which, there's a new version of the integrated desktop search that you can install.
Yeah, so this is actually a great point that I didn't know, and maybe we should have made this its own topic, but I didn't know about this. So tell me, because you were telling me to upgrade my desktop search.
Yeah, go to windowsvistablog.com, which our old manager, Chris Flores, blogs on that.
Yeah.
There is an update that you can get that basically updates the built-in integrated search that you find in Vista, and they have them for Windows Server and all the different variants. It does a bunch of things. It makes the search faster. It makes it more robust, so if it gets stuck trying to archive a particular file or index a particular file, that won't block the rest of your searches from working. So lots of good updates. It's a 2-minute install.
Yeah, I heard it was just, faster performance on desktop search.
Yep.
Get this.
Yep.
So.
And now you can search your Live Mesh folders, too.
Yes.
So good stuff. Popfly.
Yes. Yeah. So our friend Adam Nathan, Mr. Silverlight, had a bunch of updates to Popfly Game Creator. So let's say you've created an actor, and you want to skin your actor. So think of it as like a two-pane thing where you can actually choose the colors of a Silverlight object and in real time basically skin it. So you don't need to install, say, Blend or something. Like, it gives you, I mean, it's a relatively basic, but you can play with any Silverlight object directly in their designer, which is cool.
Cool.
Other stuff is, I mean, they did minor stuff like renaming actors. So like before you'd have like, Peasant 1, Peasant 2, Peasant 3.
Oh, yeah.
And now you can say, Mr. Bigglesworth, Friendly the Clown, and you can have your own names.
Sweet.
There. Other stuff is like events, and this was actually really good for game creators. So, say I only want Bowser the boss to, like, activate and start throwing fireballs at Mario when Mario's actually in the same scene on him. So they have, like, a scene enter event. So before, like...
Actually, he throws hammers and he spits fireballs, but go on.
You clearly haven't played the new Mario where he actually throws fireballs like Ken and he does Shoryuken!
So events, all right? You want him to only do whatever?
Yeah, I don't even care about this story. but it makes it that much easier. So like the second he enters the scene, you can do things like scene enter, like lock the character in that room, for example, and then activate the boss, or do a cutscene. Ha 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 ha.
Nice. Have you seen some of the games people have been creating?
Yeah, so this is another great thing. There's they have a Games We Love section, which is like the top coolest games. And what's surprising is just how the variety, right? So you have like the regular puzzles, then you have like the 2D game, then you have the driving games. Mm-hmm. So there's just a ton of different games. But check out the games we love, because you go to one of those games, you click edit, and then you can just see how they actually built it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So it's all sources available, of course.
Exactly.
Good stuff.
Good job, Popfly team.
Yeah, we should send them a cake.
Let them eat cake. Yes.
So Firefox came out this week, which, Firefox 3.
Yes.
But the interesting thing, the IE team sent them a cake.
You're correct, sir.
Right. So this is kind of a tradition, back and forth. They send each other stuff. And, what's special about this cake?
Well, this cake's 3D. So it actually has the IE ring as, like, this 3D thing. I don't know
That's
how
awesome.
I don't know how that would ship, or if that's actual cake.
I don't know. I would love to get some.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of impressive because the other one was just like a black on white cake. This time they really went all out and did the blue white.
Nice.
So,
blue, and yellow. Then you're supposed to freeze the E and eat that a year after you ship.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Is that what? Well, they have a year to send a thank you.
Oh, right.
So maybe IE8 will ship in that time.
Hey.
Hey-o!
Nice. And speaking of Firefox 3.
Yes.
Update for Silverlight.js file to be a little bit more browser-friendly with Firefox 3.
Yeah, so Tim Heuer blogged about this.
Yeah, so last time, what's up with Tim? Last time we saw him, he was driving around the country on a bus preaching developer.
Yeah, he had 44s, I think, were his.
Yeah, big rims, and
yeah
living big, and now he's a program manager locked away in a coding dungeon or something, right?
Yeah, so he did switch organizations. Yep. I think he works for the Goo, but eventually nice. Everybody works for the Goo. It's like Don Corleone.
Yeah,
so.
This is true. So, yeah, go check out Tim Heuer's blog.
Yeah, so it's in the Silverlight SDK, the Firefox 3 Silverlight.js support. So.
Excellent.
Yes. Speaking of
what? Silverlight.
Silverlight.
Yes.
Now, this is Silverlight 2. So the weird thing is, for the last one, you have to download the Silverlight 2 SDK to get the Silverlight.js, but that's just the browser detection. You don't actually need to upgrade your site from Silverlight 1 to Silverlight 2. It's just the Silverlight.js.
Okay.
This is, if you have Silverlight 2, and what does Virtual Earth have? It has map tiles of everything and great detail maps. What else do we have with Silverlight 2? It's deep zoom.
Mm-hmm.
So this was sent in, and man, I just forgot the name of the guy. Jamie Thompson, I think it was. Thompson, yes. Sent it in. Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, I'll see it. Yeah, Jamie Thompson. You're right.
So they did the YouTube video of this open source CodePlex project. But the cool part is it uses all those tiles to actually build the deep zoom. So you're like, it gives you like the really nice experience that deep zoom gives you, where like it just has the nice fade
very
in,
smoothing fade and dithering in and out.
Yeah, we're gonna show it on video, but it's like with YouTube, everything looks chunky anyway.
Of
so it's like,
yeah.
Oh, look how beautiful it is. But there is a live demo that you can actually play with.
Sweet.
So
good work.
Cool stuff. Yeah.
That's great. That's a community project too.
Yeah. So we haven't talked about this, but we are wearing extra special T-shirts today.
Elephant in the room.
Exactly. So this is Ariel Stallings.
Yes.
And Gretchen Ledgard. Yeah. I think I did that name right. Because I always want to say Ledge.
Right.
Ledgard.
Right.
Ledgard. Ledgard. Yes. Yep. Josh Ledgard's wife. Okay. For people that know Josh.
And Ariel does micro spotting.
Yes. I know.
She's
very
cool. She does. She's a great writer.
Yeah, and photographer. So this is a shot of her, and then she was kind enough to give us the I Am the Empire shirts.
Right.
So definitely check out Ariel's blog. And we got some modeling shots of us trying to imitate them, too. So let's go to the pics. Yeah.
Kind of scary, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think we look good.
I need ponytails.
So Jeff Sandquist was micro-spotted, too.
Yes,
exactly
right. Evangelists, not apologists.
Yep.
So check that out. And Dare Obasanjo. And
of course.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So good stuff, Ariel. Love the T-shirts.
Thank you.
Oh, and they're bamboo.
Oh, they are. They are bamboo.
Yes.
Yeah, they're like bamboo, soft bamboo.
Yeah, organic bamboo. They're super soft.
Yeah, they're really nice. And they started off as muscle shirts, and they've just grown the time we've been filming.
Yeah, they were actually wife beaters. And
yeah.
There's something about that growth of bamboo.
It's going to be a sweater by the end of the show.
Yes. Moving along.
All right, Richard Sprague demoing Response Point. You did this interview.
Sprague, I think.
Okay.
But anyways, so Response Point isn't a product we sell. It's a technology, but it's OEM'd by other folks.
Okay.
So the deal is, like, we had Speech Server. There's a number of things in Microsoft Research, and this is actually a spinoff of Microsoft Research. And it's a technology that allows you to, small businesses to have easy mode telephony.
Nice.
So let's check the demo, and Richard actually gave his number, but let's go to the demo so you can actually see this.
Why don't you try? Ask it a very equation. Ask it like, are you open, Christmas? Are you open on my birthday? Whatever. So try that. So go ahead. Just kind of.
Are you open today? Are you open today?
Our award-winning team works 24 hours a day, 7.
There you go. And the same thing with office location. So I could go like this. Where are you located?
We're located at blogs.technet.com/RP.
Cool.
Can you see that? And so again, you know, any variation on that, and we'll get the right answer. And the way we did it is kind of interesting. Is that we collected sample speech from like thousands of people, and we run it through this statistical algorithm that we have, and we ask a whole bunch of people to like ask in their own words a question to which the answer is, you know, what your office location is. And so they ask like lots of different ways. They say, you know, where are you located? You know, what street are you on? You know, what's your address? Like all those different kind of variations. We crunch that into a big statistical model, and then we use that to tell, you know, what the answer to the question is.
Excellent.
So some cool stuff. One of the things when I first saw this, if you're familiar with PostSecret, the website where everybody sends in postcards, I wanted to do audio secrets. So you could actually leave like an audio clip of, you know.
Ooh, that's scary.
Yes, I am your father. You know, like hang up and just like. Because the WMV files you can send them via email, but you could easily set up an app because it dumps it to a well-known location on the machine. Mm-hmm. Just do an app that would be a blog that would post those files up and do a simple MP3 player or something like
nice.
That.
Nice. Or we could enable just audio comments on Channel 9.
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, that's real creative. Or we could just turn it on. Yeah, I think we can pull that one off.
All right.
SourceForge.
Almost the weekend. All right.
Exactly.
SourceForge Community Awards.
I know.
What's special here?
All right, so SourceForge is a non-Microsoft property.
People know SourceForge, yeah.
Okay, maybe people don't know, but it's important in the context of, and CodePlex is Microsoft's open source repository. Mm-hmm. SourceForge has had this thing for Community Choice Awards for like, hey, what are the open source projects you love? Now you're able to actually vote for CodePlex projects for the SourceForge Community Choice Awards.
Nice, so that's SourceForge playing nice and saying, hey, we're inclusive,
yeah.
We want to include everybody, that's
if
great.
If there's cool community awards, you know,
good
doesn't
for them.
Matter if it's CodePlex or SourceForge.
Good for them. We should send them a cake.
CodePlex team should send them a cake.
Yes. Well, someone should send us a cake first.
Yes. Yeah. I'm waiting for mine.
So what is this about? What are we talking about here?
Soma, blogging about the security development lifecycle.
So our grand boss, Scott Gu, works for Soma.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Probably I think Mary Jo had said this. I think he's the highest blogger at Microsoft. But anyways.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And, you know, we get asked all the time, or at least I do, working in the Visual Studio Team System business, what is the process that Microsoft goes through to build software? You know, what are the tools that we use? What's the process we use? What are the security checkpoints we put in place? Mm-hmm. What are all the engineering practices? Because a lot of teams want to adopt those for themselves.
I know we have the Ouija board and then tea leaves. Those
yes.
are the only ones I know of.
Yes, and monkeys attached to keyboards that just bang out code and we just see if it compiles.
Ah,
and if it compiles,
that's
we
Forefront
ship it.
Team. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Ouch. Okay.
Hey-o.
but in all seriousness, this is the security development lifecycle practices that Soma's talking about.
Yes.
And he has some interesting statistics posted that show kind of the before and after we implemented this process. Basically, process that just helps you make sure that, you know, all these security vulnerabilities are to as best degree as you can fixed in the product before we ship it, as opposed to having to issue hot fixes and service packs and what have you down the road. So some pretty good data to back up that the SDL practices are working.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're developing software, take a look at those and see what you might want to emulate out of those practices.
Yeah, to me the biggest thing was, you know, it's not just operating system, but anybody developing an application or an ISV should look at the SDL.
Sure.
When they're developing applications to make sure they're not releasing cruft.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Yeah, and now on to something completely different. our friend Mark Brown from Virtual Earth team blogged about this. So this is a company that's using Virtual Earth to build Virtual Earth 3D to build like a virtual view into a golf cart. So like imagine you're in a golf course at Torrey Pines, and you have like a little thing. It'll actually show you where you are, the distance from the hole, like everything that you'd need to do.
Wow. Which they have some of that stuff already built into the course, but now they're using the Virtual Earth platform
yes.
to do that. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like an interactive app. It's pretty cool stuff, man.
Now, can you do that from home so you can like study the course and figure out, you know?
I'm sure you can. I think these devices were like for that course.
Okay, gotcha.
But I think this is pretty cool.
And is a stock ticker in there?
Yeah, I know. I love how they added, like, just random...
Gratuitous, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, look, it's let's check Callaway Golfs.
Yeah. What is Paris Hilton doing, Widget? So...
Everything I need to know on the golf course.
Absolutely.
They should have a little blood alcohol thing, because yeah. Those people on golf courts, man.
Where's the beer girl? When's she going to be here next?
Yes.
So, speaking of beer girl, you can have an automated beer girl going around your golf course.
I think this is a kid's toy. So this is Tiger Electronics built this thing called Amp, which is a automated music personality bot. You can plug in an MP3 player. This guy Lance Ulanoff from Gearlog called it the love child of a Segway and Short Circuit's Johnny Five. So they do have a nice YouTube video. So let's go to the clip.
Number five, live. Need more input.
I love that thing, dude. Could you imagine, like, if some... It's, like, $400, but I know somebody, like, Clint... We got to find a way to, like, hack one of those things.
Oh, yeah.
Be hilarious.
Get, like, 10 of them. Just have them going all over the place.
I can't wait to introduce them to my dog and just see what my dog... My dog's
going
free.
That would be a good YouTube video.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And that brings us to Picks of the Week.
Picks of the Week!
And this one kind of near and dear to my heart because this takes me back to college. James Devlin wrote a 3-part series on building a poker bot, and you know, kind of a controversial topic. But he goes into the reasons why this is kind of common knowledge, and he just wants to break it down for you know people who haven't embarked on this endeavor before. He's not really giving criminals access to information that they don't already have or that a smart programmer wouldn't already figure out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really interesting the way that he goes into figuring out how you calculate, you know, what your current hand is, and then what the probabilities are, and then using a collusion server to say, okay, I'm going to put 8 bots at a server and or at a table, and then have all of them collude in order to figure out the best hands that they should be playing in collusion with each other. Back in college, my friends and I figured out that you could sign up for these poker sites and these blackjack sites and everything, and they would give you sign-up bonuses when you signed up. So you deposit $1,000, and they give you 20% bonus chips. And you would have to wager a minimum amount before you could cash out. But on if you play a game like blackjack, if you play perfect blackjack just from the from the chart, then you lose about $1 or $2 every $100 that you wager. And so we'd deposit, say, $1,000 at a site, we'd get a $200 bonus, we'd have to wager twice your bonus plus your deposit before you could cash out. Well, that's $2,400. So you're going to lose on average about $24 to $48. But you got $200 of the bonus money and you just cash right out. So finding all sorts of arbitrage opportunities like that are really nice. they no longer, of course, that particular one no longer works because now you have to wager like 10 times your bonus plus your deposit.
Right.
But he figured out that as long as you have bots at the table that are breaking even, then you can still take advantage of all those top player bonuses.
Yeah, this was insane. So it was like, because I think that the poker sites devote a certain amount for their very top players.
Yep.
And he was saying like $50,000 to $70,000 per bot or something. And, you know, you're playing all those bots all year, and it's just like, and all you have to do is break even on those bots.
Right, and so you become a top player pretty quickly, and then you start getting those extra bonuses. And,
it's insane.
Yeah, so you can make some good money doing that.
Yeah, so he actually walks through everything from using C++ tools like Spy++ to actually go through Intercept, and what I didn't know was those Flash sites actually install effectively spyware.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, so they're actually, like, reading your email, doing everything else to track and make sure that you're not, like, hacking their stuff, too.
Oh, so, they do that, too. It's, like, trying to look for...
Yeah, a lot of times other sites, like, or other programs, like World of Warcraft will do that so you can't do bots. Like, they have a Guardian system that basically sniffs and makes sure that nobody's effing with their DLLs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wonder why they haven't implemented the same thing for poker sites.
But at the same time, people can get around the Guardian.
That's true. And actually, James goes into in this article why most poker sites actually want to have the bots. So don't have time to get into it here, but you should read the article. It's really fascinating to read.
Yeah, awesome stuff. So cool stuff, James. And this is by, we found it via Avi Pilosov. Hope that's right.
Probably not. But what's your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week, and this was, I believe it was Engadget? Jeez, I hope it's not Gizmodo. Maybe it is Gizmodo. Well, you'll find out soon enough. So this is GoGo. I cannot wait for this to happen. So in-flight Wi-Fi. Walt Mossberg tried this out. He said it was fast, but not fast enough to do Hulu, which I've now fallen in love with Hulu because you can watch movies and TV anytime,
right.
anywhere.
Right.
He said it was still a little too slow for that, but the speed is 600 kilobits per second down, 250 up. That's pretty damn good. Like, for web browsing, for... I mean, I'm still used... I can live with 192.
Yeah.
So...
Well, they had... They had wireless on some of the Boeing flights, right?
Yeah, so this was a great story. So tell your story of when Michael Leeworthy was in a coach and you were in business.
Oh, yeah. We were both
like a
20
hour flight.
We were both on our laptops and we were just, IMing each other back and forth. And I was telling him how great business class was and just really rubbing it in.
Yeah, and you had a camera and a glass of champagne.
Right. Yes, and I toasted.
Well, he's cramped and, you know, economy.
And then you were playing World of Warcraft.
Yes, I own somebody at 40,000 feet.
That was awesome. And you blogged about it.
That's yes, right. Yeah. Yes. So I loved it, and the airline was SAS, and they stopped it. It was a Boeing service.
This is total tangent, but SAS rocks. They have, in the bathrooms, they have windows, and so you're in the bathroom, and you're doing your thing, and you're like, I hope no one can see me, and then you realize you're at 40,000 feet, and so it's just a very strange sensation.
Yeah, no, good story. So Virgin is coming to U.S. and going to take over, and American is doing this as well. They say 2008, dude, so this is the year.
Wow, very
awesome
cool.
stuff, yes. I'm very excited. So full show. Hopefully you didn't mind us rambling too much, and thanks, everyone.
See you next week.
I tell you, I have been missing out my whole life. You guys are where it's at. I'm a developer. I'm going to go back. I'm going to start slinging code.
I love the micro framework. I think it's going to be cool.
Yeah, totally. I can't wait for Visual Studio 2008 Service Pack 1 to come out. You're going to love it, Laura, especially you.
I don't know if this is going to get a little too deep on you guys right now, but let's go Link. You know, I am so stoked about talking about Link.
Hey, have you seen F-Sharp?
Dude,
that's awesome.
Straight to C++. Hardcore! If I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna do it all the way! It's so much better than 2.0!
Oh my god.
Fernandez. And I'm Laura Foy, and that's a wrap from Tech Ed Orlando.